Blog Talk Radio. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But
power to the wind. Amen, amen. We got someone to join the prayer line. I believe that's my brother, Brother Rick. And Brother Rick, the Lord said, where there's one or two, he should be in the midst. So brothers, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Heavenly Father, we come before you on this prayer line. Heavenly Father, we come to thank you, Father, for this prayer line, to thank you for the brothers and sisters that will join in, and also thanking you for your Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray for one another as we lift up our voice to you, Father. We pray for your Holy Spirit will be with us, lead and guide us. Father, we pray for this prayer line that you be with each and every one. And as the scriptures are read and studied on this prayer line, the minister bring, your servant bring the word on the prayer line. We ask you to bless us. Keep us, Lord, as we read, sing, praise, and all this to glorify you. So we ask you to bless our reading, bless the singing, bless it all, Father. And we thank you in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen, Brother Rick. I believe that, Brother Rick, I have about a couple of scriptures just fast. Psalms 27. You know what Psalms 27 says? Wait on the Lord. So let's just go there right quick. Psalm 27 and verse, I believe, 14. Yes, that's what it says. It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. What a blessing. Amen. And I got one more, Brother Rick, to share with my brother while we are on this prayer line, because we know that our Father is so good. And look, I have this one, Psalms, Isaiah 40. It was Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verses 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I'm going to open the line for my brother so you can begin to share, and I have another one, and I'm asking that you can give your testimony, your praise, sing. Let's give it to God because he deserves it. Amen. 518-744, your line is open.
Amen.
And how are
you doing? Thank you.
How are you doing, Brother Rick?
Pardon me?
I say, how are you doing?
I am doing very well. Praise the Lord. He's good, even when I am not, sister. And you know what? He is faithful to us, and the scriptures are just an awesome testimony to his goodness to us, sister. I am just getting to a point where here I can get to my my scripture that I wanted to read here, sister, but you know, this weekend has been a good weekend. We had a wonderful service at Kingsbury this past weekend. One of our elders spoke, and you know what, the Holy Spirit is moving. And, sister, the Holy Spirit is moving us also. So, you know what? It's time for us to get out there and do the work that God has put out there for us. I was talking to my nephew today. I call him. He calls me, or I call him every Sunday. He drives truck. And he was having a kind of a down time because he wasn't getting the number of hours that he wanted at work. And you know, I asked him, well, what's going on? Well, he said, I took Thursday off to go snowmobiling. Well, yeah, I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're taking time off when you could be working, then you're complaining because you're not getting the hours you want, you know. So I told him, you know, if you're serious about supporting your family, about taking care of them, you know, getting things ready for this time of trouble, then you're going to have to put all those snowmobiles and all those toys away because there's no room for them in God's work. You know, we can't be divided. Our attention has to be focused, and all of us need to pay heed to that, sister, because we all get caught up with something or another of our own that we'd like to do. You know, have dreamed about for many years, and oftentimes it takes our time away that God really wants to have with us. So we must be singularly focused on one thing, and that is on doing God's will. And I'm just praising the Lord that, you know, he has been bringing this to me, and he has allowed me to, well, I'm not young anymore. I'm not old. But I've done everything that I've needed to do in my life to, you know, I tell everybody, if I were to die today, there is nothing that I haven't done that I really felt that I needed to do. There are things I'd like to do, yes. But, you know, God has blessed me beyond what he should have. And he has been good to me. So I'm just praising him for that, sister. And, you know, we need to encourage our young people. My nephew is, now let's see, Brandon's got to be 38, somewhere around there. And, you know, so he's not a young man, but he's definitely not old either. And it seems like this day and age, the young folks are not, it seems like they're waiting longer and longer to grow up, to take on responsibility, to get serious about life. And, you know, as a Christian, we can't do that. We don't have the time. Yeah. Time is short. And if we wait till, we're 45 years old or, whatever it is to say, I guess I've done all of them that I wanted to do. Now I can get serious about God. If the young folks are waiting for that time, they are going to miss out, sister. And they cannot afford that, and we cannot afford that ourselves. So I'm just praising the Lord that he's bringing these things to me. And my scripture that I wanted to bring, sister, is in the Psalms. I was reading this last night to my wife. And, let's see, I've got to get to it here. I was reading some other stuff, so I'm not at that point at the moment, but it was Psalm 90, somewhere around 95, I believe. And it was such a beautiful psalm that I, yes. Oh, come let us sing unto the Lord. Psalm 95. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hill is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So we start out here with praise to a God who is a king above all gods. And then he transitions into those who are unfaithful in the wilderness. They tempted God. They tried him, his patience, saying, he's a patient God. He won't work. He won't matter. It won't matter if we do his little sins or even his big sin because, he carried us through the Red Sea. So, he'll wink at our sins. No, he won't. And, it is, I was thinking about this in the Bible, a generation is 40 years, okay? And, as I see my nephew, 38 or 39, this gives me some good things to talk about him next week. He is almost one generation old, and it's time for him to get totally, solely focused on the Lord and on what God wants him to do. And he's saying that to each one of us, sisters. So I'm just urging my brothers and sisters to get singularly focused on the Lord and what he has for us and leave the other things behind. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. So if we seek him in the things that we desire, our desire is that probably will change if we are focused on him solely. But then the things that are in our heart is what he puts there, and he's going to give them to us. So it's just a wonderful thought that, he has our best interest in mind. And if we would just put all of our eggs in one basket, as they say, in his basket, and he is going to get us through, sister, and we're going to need that power. We're going to need that strength. We're going to need that faith. We're going to need that comfort from Jesus, from our Savior, from his holy angels, from the Holy Spirit, to make it through these times, because we're not even in a hard time, and we're complaining, we're asking God, why, Lord, why me? And Brother Udy and many of the folks on the prayer line have the verse in the Bible says, if we can't keep up with the footmen, how are we going to run with the horses?
we're barely we're with the slow footmen right now. No, we're barely crawling.
Come on now.
When it comes to the events in history, and you know, God is saying, hey, you know, let's get this right. Let's get crawling along, and then we'll get you walking, and then we'll get you running, and then we'll get you with the horsemen. So let's be faithful. And sister, I just wanted to lift up a prayer before I get off. And so if we could just bow our heads, Lord God, I just do thank you for your blessings, dear Lord. You have given us much counsel, Lord. You have given us, you have been patient with us, Lord, even when we are stubborn, as the folks, as the children of Israel were in the wilderness, Lord. They were stiff-necked, Lord. They were hard of heart, Lord. And we have been the same, Lord, so forgive us. Father, I pray that our focus would be on you and your plan, your goodness, your salvation, your work for us that we have to do, Lord. Lord, you could finish this work in a moment, in just the twinkling of an eye. You could make this all happen, Lord, but you have given it to us so that we could have salvation, Lord, so that we could stay on that path that is right, that is good. You said righteousness, right doing, Lord, is what you want us to be doing, Lord, and we can't do that without you, Lord, so we are asking for your Holy Spirit, Lord. We need that Holy Spirit, Lord, because without it, you'll do nothing good. You'll only do evil. Forgive us, Lord, our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Keep us from falling to temptation, Lord. When a tempter comes, Lord, may we do as Jesus did and say, thus saith the Lord. And, Father, we need those scriptures, those verses hidden in our hearts, Lord. I pray that we, each one of us here in this prayer line, will do everything we can to hide those verses in the heart. And when the tempter comes, you will help us to recall those verses, and he will flee as he did from Jesus and when he was tempting him. So, Father God, guide us this night. Be with Sister Leola and her husband Ray, Lord, with her family, with her daughter Nicole and her children, with her son Jarvis, Lord, and his children, Charlotte and young Jarvis, Lord. I just do lift them up to you, especially in prayer, Lord. Lord, guide Jarvis, Lord, that he would come out of this life that he has been living, Lord. It's been destroying peace, Lord. Lord, you have the power. You have the might, Lord. You have the wisdom. You have the glory and the honor, Lord. So, Lord, just reach down, touch that young man, Lord, that he may come out of this stupor that he is in, that Satan has put him in, Lord.
Yes.
That he would become a great worker for you, Lord, that he would be able to come back to his children, Lord, and be a witness to them also, Lord, and to all those around him. He could even witness those people that he was living with under the bridge, Lord. Lord, it's just it's just an awesome thing to think of all the possibilities, Lord. And we are leaving him in your hands because you are the only one that can do anything for him. Lord, Sister Leola has tried, many have tried, Lord, and they have failed. But, Lord, you will not fail, Lord. You said that if you say it, it will not fail, Lord. So, Father, we just leave Jarvis in your hands. Lord, be with Ashley, Lord. She has been talking about you somehow, Lord, and oh, Father, that seed that is in her heart grows, Lord, and that she would come back to you, that she would come back to church, Lord, that she would testify of your grace and your mercy to her, Lord. Lord, in her situation, she is having difficulties, Lord, but you are there. You have helped her work some of them out, Lord, and there are more to work out, Lord, so please, give her strength, give her wisdom, Lord, but give her your salvation most of all, dear Lord, that she would continue on that path and not stop where she's at, Lord, because if we stop short, Lord, we will never reach the crown. So, Lord, help us to be strong and of good courage, Lord, as you have told Joshua in the scriptures. Be strong and of good courage, trust in the Lord, and see your salvation is coming. Lord, be with each person that's going to be calling in. We just do lift him up in our speaker tonight. If you, Brother Akeem, we do lift him up, Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. And we do love you, Lord, because you loved us first. We thank you in Jesus' blessed and holy name. Amen. Thank
Amen.
You, Sister Leola. I just wanted, I just remembered, I want to keep Kevin in prayer. He is a young man. Actually, he's not young anymore. He's like 51 years old, but he has cancer. And he is just having a hard time. I've got to call him tomorrow. And he hasn't been to church in the last couple weeks. And I've tried to keep in touch with him each week to see how he's doing. His past week, I got so busy, I didn't. So just pray for Kevin and pray that I would be able to reach him. Yes.
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 Well, Brother Rick, you know, it's been said that cancer cannot live in a pH body. So
yes.
Have you ever heard of peroxide, food-grade peroxide?
No, I have not.
It helps. Yeah, food-grade peroxide, but it's you got to take
yes,
it
peroxide.
And you got to
yes,
blend.
Yes,
food-grade peroxide.
Yes.
It helps build that body up and give that body oxygen. And he can take that peroxide, I can send you some information on it. I can text you that sheet of paper about cancer.
Yes
that's it. That works. So I'm
going
to send
that
you that sheet.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. I'm going to send you that. And
if he can
bear to eat right and to take that peroxide, they say that really helps. So by God's grace, I'm hoping that.
Yes.
Yeah, and it turned many cancer patients around, really.
Yes.
Say that again.
Do you? So one of his difficulties is he has not been eating right, sister, and I've talked to him about this, and you know he's been grew up Seventh-day Adventist, you know, he fell away from the church. You know, what situation happened to him when he was younger. I mean, he went to the Seventh-day Adventist Academy.
Yeah, I know. People are struggling.
You know, he got into drinking heavily. He was drinking a quart of whiskey every day, he told me. And he's gotten away from the whiskey, but he's still drinking beer. And I told him, you know, brother, you know, the Lord will free you if He can free you from the whiskey. He can free you from the beer. You don't need that beer. That beer
from
is
anything.
keeping you from, I mean, number one, it's feeding that cancer. And number two, it's mucking up your mind because the Holy Spirit cannot work in your mind, you know. And when I talk to him tomorrow, just pray for me, sister, that I have the right word. I don't want
we will lift him up in prayer.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. All right.
I'd love to see that
Rick
information
for
that you have. Send that to me. Yep.
I sure will. Okay. I want to thank you. I want to thank Brother. Do you have an email that I can send that email to Sister Leo?
Oh, yes.
Send me an email.
Either that or you can text it to me or you can email it. I mean, if you want my email, I'll give it to you right now.
It's probably – I'll see how I can do it. But okay, then. Thank you, Brother Rick. I'm going to go and open the other lines. But thank you so much for lifting Jarvis and my grandchildren up in prayer, the prayer line. We thank you so much and for being a supporter of the prayer line. Thank you. Thank you, sisters and brothers that support the prayer line by coming on here to share. So, Brother Rick, we're going to continue on as you be patient. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for the reading and your encouragement. Thank you for all. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller, and it's 985-285-232. Your line is being open. Amen. You can give us your name and where you're calling from. 985-232. Can you hear us? She's been on here a little while waiting, so.
Good evening, Sister Brenda. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I'm sorry, I was on mute. Calling from Houma, Louisiana. And I just want to thank God for his mercy that kept us last night and woke us up this morning. Just want to thank him for all the blessings that he washed over us. And some didn't make it. And my heart goes out to all the who Brother Rick was talking about. Just to keep him up in prayer and pray to God that he just don't let go so easy drinking and stuff. Just pray
that
he just humble himself and just give himself to God and trust in God, and God would make a way, because without that, he just won't let, God won't be able to make a way. So we're just going to pray for the brother later and keep him in prayer, silent prayer after on our own. So I just thank God he did it for me. I know he'll do it for him. He just got to trust in that and believe in God, and he'll do it for him. So I just want to read this prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that you help me to always be mindful of my actions toward the people around me and the world where so many men, women, and children are oppressed on a daily basis. Father, may I be different to those who take delight in oppressing others. I desire to be at peace with everyone in my life, and it's only with your help, oh Lord, that I can achieve this. My desire, Father, is to be an example of your love to people of this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's prayers for all of us. And we just want our Heavenly Father to help us to do these things that he give us to do, so that we can become closer to him each day and stay about our Father's business, so we know we'll be walking a good path. So we just thank the Lord for his words of encouragement, so that we know we have a way that we can go forward, and we won't know we'll be walking in the right path. So I just thank God for these words of encouragement every time I read them. And my children say, they come over, I cook a gumbo for them today, and they say, Mom, you saying some good words. What you done changed? I said, the Lord working on me. That's all I could tell y'all. The Lord is working on me. And leave it like that.
Amen.
I said, nope, the Lord is working on me. Y'all just leave me be. And I'm like, I thank the Lord. So, and they said, whoa, well, I didn't hear nothing negative today. I said, thank you, Jesus. And they shocked. But I thank God. So I'm just want to ask for prayer God's Way Ministry is a sister-in-law of mine. Her husband died, and she's left with it. She had another guy that was going to help take over. He died, so she got older man helping on her son, because she's real sick too. So I just asked for prayer for her church, and it's kind of wagging, but asked for prayer for them, because I don't know, whatever God wants for them, but I just asked for a prayer. Asked for silent prayer for me and my situation with my living status, far away, and the reveal is slow status, but I'm being patient with God. Word and let it be what it want to be. I'm not used to living like this, but I don't have no choice, because I can't rush it. I just leave it in God's hands, and just ask for prayer for Advent Light for our family on and off, all those missing members, and pray that they come back to Advent Life. And so we can continue as a whole family and continue doing God's work. We thank God for our mother, Sister Powell. We thank God for all our other members that helped to make this prayer line successful. And we thank God and hope God keep them in their health and strength so we can continue on. And actually bless all the members on here. So we thank God. So Brother John won't be on tonight because he was in another part of the house with the kids, but they're still traveling. So thank God and keep him in prayer and keep my babies and the grandbabies in prayer. They are very hyped. So God bless. Amen.
Sister Brenda, Brother John will be speaking.
Let me see. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah. For being patient. Yes. We're waiting. Just thanking the brothers and sisters for their patience. And as they hold on and listen to the testimonies and giving God the praise.
Yes, this is Brother John from Humble, Louisiana. I can say hello to everyone and hope they're having a blessed day. And, because I know I'm having a blessed day. And most of my days are blessed, thank God. I guess learn to appreciate everything. And just all the things that God, the blessings he has stored upon us. And I realize them and I appreciate them. And I just want to keep living and having abundant thoughts. I guess that's the word. I put a lot of words together. I heard of abundant life, and I just said I'm having abundant thoughts that enriched thoughts of just being here and being a child of God and thankful every day. And I just want to share that. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John, once again. And we know that you're going to be making another milestone. So we want to say God is good for you, blessing you with another year. So I'm asking that he keep you and bless you this year. Abundance, my brother-in-law. So we want to thank Sister Brenda also for coming on and sharing her prayer. And that prayer, Sister Brenda, it touched me all the time because I know that it's meant for all of us and that God is truly want us to be obedient to him as we, you know, sometimes we do have struggles. And the fact that, you know, we struggle, but we can't just stay in that struggle. We got to get up by God's grace. So we want to thank you and Brother John once again, and the prayers will be lifted up for sister-in-law and her ministry. Amen, and all other requests. So we're going to go and open the next line. But I wanted to read this as Brother Rick had read, hearing the word of the Lord. And I'm reading from Psalm 66 and verse 5. I think it's through eight. And it says, hear the words of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hate you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to you to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city and a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that render recompense to his enemy. Before the travail she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. who had heard such a thing, who had seen such a thing, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall the nation born at once? For as soon as Zion travail, she brought forth her child. Shall I bring to the birth? Wait, shall I bring to the birth and not cause bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith God. So God is telling us he is the one to bring forth all good things as he has brought forth his son. And we just want to thank God. Hear the words of the Lord. And so thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming on and sharing in your scriptures and also singing and praising God. So I will open the line for the next caller. It's 272-770. Your line is open. Your line is open. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Leola, for opening my line. My name is Tymiko, and I live in Pennsylvania. Thank you all, my precious brothers and sisters. I would like to sing a song on page 608, Faces the Victory. And then I have a Bible scripture to read if I have time. Amen. I want to give the Lord praise and thanks for safe traveling mercies. My aunt passed away, and she was laid to rest Friday, March 4th. 2022. So I thank the Lord he was with me. He kept us safe, gave us safe traveling mercies, and he brought us back home safe. So I give him all the praise, honor, and glory and adoration because he is so worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay. Faith is the victory. And can't the Lord of all, and can't the Lord of life be Christian soldiers rise? And press the battle with a man, shall veil the glowing skies. Against the fallen mills below, and all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory, we know that overcomes the world. Oh, faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. The tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each hand, with truth for good about. The earth shall tremble neath the tread, and echo without a shout. Oh, faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, my remnant shall be given. Before the angels he should know, his name confessed in heaven. Then all the sombre hues of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Oh, faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have a scripture to read here in Psalms 121. Verses 1 through 8. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for opening my line, my precious sister Leola, and I'm asking for prayer requests for all my precious, beloved brothers and sisters on the prayer line this evening. and prayer for you, Sister Viola, and your family. Prayer for Sister Powell and her family members. Prayer for my family members and my grandchildren. And a special healing prayer for Sister Mary Ann, as she'll be going in for a second part of her heart surgery for March the 14th. So thank you so much. God bless you all. Love you all, always and forevermore. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. We will lift Sister Mary Ann up because we know we have many that need some prayer. So thank you, Sister Tamiko, for coming on to sharing with us and singing that beautiful song. Oh, we give God the praise and praising him for the song that you have sang and continue to read in his scriptures. So we thank you, and I'm so happy to hear God has blessed you with safe traveling mercy. And we will continue to lift your family up in prayer. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller. Yes, thank you. Yes. Okay, brothers and sisters, we're going to go to the next caller, which is 857-505. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, everyone on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. First of all, Sister Miola, I'd like to thank God for his love, for his mercy. I'd like to thank God for his grace because he is good. He is worthy to be praised. My dear Sister Miola, I have a prayer request. My dear sister, my prayer request tonight is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, please lift up my mom in prayer. And please, Sister Miola, lift up my sister in prayer. Her name is Sister Anna. She's from Russia, but lift her up in prayer too. She's new on the line. She's new on the prayer line, and she wants to be Seventh-day Adventist. But Sister Miola, we praying for Sister Anna. Her name is Sister Anna, and her last name is Kay. Sister Miola, her last name is Kay. Anna, my Sister Anna's name is A-N-N-A. Sister Anna. Lift up Sister Anna in prayer. Her last name is Kay. And please lift up my cousin in prayer, too. Lift up Anthony. He needs a lot of prayer, too. Sister Tamiko, lift up Brother Jari in prayer. Pray for his staff member. Pray for all of them. And Sister Miola, I'm asking you to pray for my Sister Anna because she's new on the prayer line, Sister Miola. So, Sister Miola, please welcome my dear Sister Anna on this prayer line. And I want to sing a song, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, she will feel blessed. When I sing that song, Sister Miola, she will feel blessed at the moment. She will be blessed. She will receive that blessing, Sister Miola. She will be Seventh-day Adventist, Sister Miola. Pray for Sister Anna because she's a young girl, Sister Miola. Pray for Sister Anna that she will baptize in the name of the Lord. She will baptize in the water, Sister Miola. She will not be afraid, Sister Miola. God, Sister Miola, I want to read Psalms 27 for my dear Sister Anna. Sister Anna, I'm going to read Psalms 27 for you. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? My dear Sister Anna, remember Sister Miola say, do not be afraid because the Lord is your rock and your salvation. Who shall I be afraid? The Lord is good, my dear Sister Anna. And Sister Miola, I'd like to thank Sister Tamiko for singing that song because that song make me feel blessed, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I'm praying for her son too. I'm praying for her son, Brother Taiwan. He needs salvation. Lift up Brother Taiwan in prayer. Pray for her daughter-in-law too, Sister Katie, and she needs salvation. Lift up Sister Katie Ann in prayer. Pray for Sister Kaisha. Lift up Sister Kaisha in prayer. Pray for Brother Carlos alone. Lift them up in prayer, Sister Miola. But Sister Miola, I want to sing a song at the moment. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. Sing, Sister Miola, sing, my dear Sister Anna Kay. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. Sing, Sister Miola, sing, Sister Power. Where is salvation? Jesus is my mercy and word my side. Sing, Sister Miola, sing, Sister Tabico. Where is salvation?
Amen.
Jesus is mine. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, praising our Savior all the day long. This is our story, to praise him. Thank you so much, Brother Eli, for bringing those requests to the prayer line. And may God get the glory, because every request that you have made, God hear it. He will, and we will make these requests known to our Father tonight when we pray. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller. We're going to open the line for our mother, Sister Power. She's on the line, praise God. Sister Power, your line is now open, and
okay,
you can give your name and where you come.
Okay. Good night, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. I am so blessed to be on the line. It's a privilege that God has given unto us that we can join together in this form to lift him up and to give him thanks for all the blessings he has restored upon us. The blessing to hear Brother Eli singing this song. This is a story, and we have a story to tell the Lord all the day long. So we are so thankful for Brother Eli, you know, that he can really invite brothers and sisters on this line. I think Anna, on behalf of Advent Light Prayer Line, we welcome you as a first-timer on this line, and we do hope that you will be blessed. We are asking you to continue to visit us, and we appreciate your visit. So, you know, Brother Eli is a faithful brother, always inviting his brothers and his sister to join us. So we just welcome you, and we do hope that you are no more stranger on this line, brother, Sister Hannah. So blessings to you. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, I said today, this morning, I got up, I was there having our devotion, morning devotion. It was good, our morning prayer with our sister praising the Lord. And after we finished it, I got a surprise visit. I was not expecting my daughter and her husband to visit me from Connecticut, from New Jersey. You know, they did not tell me that they was coming. And my dear beloved brothers and sisters, the door rang, bell rang, and I went out, and who it was, the family came. And it was really a surprise. So I'm thankful, you know, that, you know, the children still remember, despite being their busy schedule, they still remember to visit. And after that, oh, Lord, the family was just coming in. I don't know how maybe she summoned the family and let them know that she was coming. My nephew, Steve, joined, and my niece, Marlene, joined. And then following after, my brother came visiting me, and it was just like a reunion. God is so good, and it's good to have family member prayer with them and show, let them know that if we here on this earth, fellowshipping with our brothers and our sisters, so joyful and feel so happy to know that family members can meet together like this in this form, despite of the crisis around where we were not able to see each other for months and also years. But God have made it possible with his protection to protect us and to keep us so that we can meet. So I was saying and sharing to them in the prayer that if on earth we have this joyful moment, what about heaven when we meet our Father, our Savior, our King, our Lord, when we meet him in the clouds and we know that we are going to live with him for eternity. What a joy that will be. So, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, ask you to lift that. They are traveling now. They are on the way back home. You know, I didn't even know that the time will run off so late. When I look at the time, I saw that it's after 7. And I said, oh, I have to join the line. So I'm thankful, you know, for that blessing that he ever stored upon me. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters, continue to pray for them that they will have safe traveling mercy home. Thank you, my dear brother Eli, again. Thank you, Sister Leola, and all our brothers on this line and sisters on this line, so that we can have this sweet fellowship to listen to the message this evening. And we just pray that everyone will be blessed. Thank you again, Sister Leola. God bless, Mama.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. And I'm sure that was Sister Debbie that showed up from Jersey, right? That was Debbie.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. I just praise God for your family and everyone coming to visit mom and seeing how mom doing. So let us just lift them up in prayer. We want to lift up brother Eli, ask for a prayer. Sister Brenda, ask for a prayer for our sister-in-law in our ministry. Brother Rick, ask for prayer for brother Kenneth. I believe the guy named Kenneth. And all the requests for sister. Tamika, ask for prayers, of course, for her family and, you know, the bereaved, and just to lift her up in prayer because that's close family. And then Sister Power has family, all our friends. We are all family, so let us lift one another up. Okay, Sister Power, I'm going to just offer a prayer, and if I can open your line back up before Brother Akeem come back on. So I'm going to lift up prayers, and then I will open your line. It's okay if you give a
amen,
prayer also.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Let us pray. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. We want to tell our Father all about our troubles, because only he can take care of them. We can go tell our troubles. We can go tell our problems to somebody else, but only God can answer. So let us tell him. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Father. The one that have joined this prayer line, Father, have brought a request to you. And Father, you said that we should pray for one another, that we should love one another and do all these things towards one another, Father, because we are our brother's keeper. And then we also, Father, are
are your children. And if we are your children, the example that Christ left for us, he said we are to do for one another. So, Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters tonight, beginning with Brother Rick, as he was the first to come on and testify and to share and to also ask prayers for Brother Kenneth, I believe the guy's name, that dealing with cancer. And, Father, his sorrows that he's going through, Lord, with the drinking and all these things, Lord, you know what he's going through. Nobody but you knows, because even some things he don't know, and he don't understand what he's going through. But, Father, you know that deep thought. You know that deep heart, what's going on there. So, Heavenly Father, we lift him up to you, Father. We ask that you would please hear his cry. And Lord, and take him by the hand and help him to understand that you are there. And he's in the Bible say, all we have to do is call upon him. So, Father, I'm asking that you send a message through your holy angels to teach, to talk with him, to help him, Father, to call upon Jesus. He says he will answer. Oh, Father, thank you right now for the blessed name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom died for all. So, Heavenly Father, as Brother Rick made this request for a brother that was in church, Lord, you see. Now, Lord, you know Brother Rick's heart, asking for his friend, his neighbor, the prayers. Now, Lord, he also asked for Ashley, Lord Father, that you continue to contend with her and help her, Father, to make that choice to serve you, Father, and to give you all the acknowledging and understanding. And she would understand, Lord, what God has given to her. Oh, Father, I'm asking you to help her, her children, Lord. Lord, all the lost time, Father, we know you are able. So touch her heart, touch her children, even her husband, Father, all of their hearts. And, Father, we pray for lift up Brother Rick's wife to you. Lord, she had a little cold or something Brother Rick had brought to us. But, Father, we do know you take care of each and every one. So I'm asking you to touch Brother Rick's wife and continue to work in her life, Lord, to love you and to keep you, and especially your word, Lord. Let the word of God be settled in our heart, all of us, Father. Oh, Father, thank you. And, Lord, now for the priest of the home, Lord, we lift Brother Rick up to you, Father. You know he's going in and he's out, and that he's been a servant of yours, Lord, and have been like ministry at his church, doing all these blessings, all these wonderful things, trying to take care of his daughter and seeing to the children and his mother, his father. We lift them up to you too, Father, to keep them and bless them, watch over them, strengthen them, Lord, Father. And, Lord, Father, we just ask that you work with each and every one, Lord, Father, that they may know that you're the true and living God, Father. And, Lord, Father, your Sabbath, Lord, Father, not just for Sunday keepers, Lord. I'm praying this, Father, for the one they say keep the Sabbath. Lord, for me, Lord, Father, your holy Sabbath. Help us, Lord, to know you. Help us to understand your Sabbath. Father, I'm praying this for me. I, the one that needs you too, Lord, Father. We all need you. But, Lord, I'm praying, Father, to help us. And now, Father, we also lift up Sister Brenda. Sister Brenda has asked for prayers, Father, for my sister-in-law and her ministry, Lord, Father. Yes, Lord, we know what happened there, Lord, and we know that you have everything in mind and everything that you have done according to your will. So, Lord, I'm asking you to touch my sister-in-law's heart and, Lord, Father, and allow her to let you be her guide. Let the Holy Spirit teach her the things that she would need to know and be with her son, Father, my nephew. Help him, Father. I'm asking you to give him strength as he helped his mother, as he's the oldest child, helping his sisters and brothers. So, Lord, let them be led by the Spirit, because only the Bible says God has given the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. So, Father, we plead for the Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us, help and strengthen us, keep us, Father. And now, Lord, we lift up Sister Tamika to you, Lord. And, Lord, as she has asked for prayers, Father, for herself and her family, Lord, her mother, Father, and the bereaved of her family, Lord, Father, we ask that you take care of them, Lord. And, Father, give them wisdom and to know now one has passed, but we are amongst the living. We are to draw closer to the Lord and to get to know him and to do his will. So, Father, help us and give us, open up our eyes that we may trust you, the only true and living God, and lean not to our own understanding, Father. Thank you. Now, Lord, Father, as we lift up Sister Tamika, Lord, continually, Lord, as she's such faithful and she loves to sing and give you glory, so bless her and help her every day in her life, Lord. Keep her, Lord, Father, as she pray for her son and her daughters. Thank you, Lord, her grandchildren. And now, Lord, as we lift up Brother Eli to you, Father, we lift him up, Lord, and ask that you, Father, to hear all those prayer requests, his mother, his friends and family, the people he go to church with, all those that he worked with, Lord. Father, we ask that you continue to give them wisdom, give them knowledge, Lord, and Brother Eli witness to them and telling them about Jesus, Lord, Father. Oh, one day, Father, it's going to be like the time on Noah. Noah preached. It was going to flood. It's going to flood. And the people didn't believe. And, Father, the flood came and took them away. So, Lord, as Brother Eli continued to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is coming. Jesus is near. Accept Jesus. Be baptized. Lord, he preached these things. And, Father, little do people know. They take that for granted. But, Lord, help us. Help us, Father. And as he's on fire for you, Lord, keep him, Father, that fire will always be burning. And, Father, we thank you so much for Brother Eli. But he's the youngest one on here, and he's always, oh, praising you, singing, glorifying you with that high voice and lifting it up to you, glorifying you. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, as we pray for Sister Power once again and her family, Lord, Father, we lift up Sister Power, the strength of the prayer line, the prayer of the prayer line. She prayed for all of us and lift us up. Lord, Father, we asking that you take care of her, Father, according to thy will, and that she be blessed, and especially all her family, Lord, Father, that the word she tells, the words that she always preaches, may they hear also. And help us, Lord, to keep you and to accept your word. And, Father, we also lift up Brother Akeem, Lord, as he bring the message. We pray for his mother and all, and I don't remember about the grandmother, but we pray to lift his mother up, his father, and all his family. So keep him and bless the word he will bring tonight. Thank you, Father. And in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, and we need the Holy Spirit up on this prayer line to help us to hear and understand. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen. And now, Sister Power, I believe your line is already open.
Okay. And let's continue a little. Oh, most righteous and eternal Father, which art in heaven, we, your children, come before your throne, linger a little longer at your feet. Heavenly Father, you have heard the prayer request from your daughter, dear Lord, where she presented all the families to you, dear Lord. You know everything about them, their need, their desire. So, Lord, as she lifts them up to you, dear Father, I come agreeable upon every name that she presented. And then, dear Father, I lift up Sister Carlo to you, Hadishan, Lord, and Brother Yudi and his family. We also lift up the Richardson family to you, dear Lord. You know everything about them. And also, Father, we lift up Sister Cancinelli and Sister Barnaby, dear Lord, to you. Brother O'Neill, dear Lord, we lift up, and the many, many more. And now, dear Lord, because we know that you are in the most holy sanctuary, doing your last ministerial work, Lord Jesus, to allow us, dear Father, all these names that we have presented to you. Please, Lord, keep our names in that book of life, Lord. We present our requests to you, and we agree upon these requests, and we are asking you, let your will be done. We just want to thank you. We praise you, and we lift up our speaker again to you, Lord. And if there is any other name that we did not mention, Lord, we ask you to hear our cry and answer our plea. Thank you for hearing, and thank you for answering our prayer. Filled us with your, in Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Brother Akeem, we are going to open your line. Amen.
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 All right. Well, praise the Lord, and I thank you for your prayers, and praise the Lord for all that he has done and he's doing. And as we go into the message this evening, pray that our hearts will be blessed, and we'll be studying John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And let's go into that, the short word of prayer. Father, be with us and guide us and strengthen us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So John chapter 4 is what we'll be studying in terms of, we've been looking at the work that we have to do in the city work, and also the work in the country. And so as we've been looking at that work, now we're looking at the work again, but from a one-on-one perspective. And we'll see some principles laid out in the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy as it concerns reaching out to the one soul audience. Because as we come in contact with people, we have to be able to reach them where they are and not where they are not. And so as we go into this, just want to bring up something really quick here. There you go. All right. So as we go into the subject of the one-on-one encounter with Jesus and the woman of Samaria, I pray we will be able to see some principles that we can apply as we minister and seek to reach out to other souls, whether it be in a hygienic restaurant, whether it be in church, whether it be in our everyday lives. But there are principles that we must apply in terms of doing proper evangelism as we minister to others. So it says there in verse 1, John chapter 4, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now the reason that this is so powerful is because it shows you the caliber of the work that Jesus was doing. His work was so powerful that it exceeded even the ministry of John the Baptist. And so as we look at this ministry of John the Baptist, we see that John was doing a mighty work in terms of reaching many people in order to prepare them for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as that was happening, as mighty as his work was, when Jesus Christ now came on the scenes, it was way more than that. To the point that he was not only reaching more souls, reaching multitudes, but many more were being baptized. And so as we look at this, it's powerful. The question that I always had is, why did Jesus' disciples baptize and not Jesus himself? The reason being that Jesus knew that from the moment of the beginning of his public ministry, according to the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9, concerning the Messiah, the Prince. He knew that he would only have 3.5 years. And in that 3.5 years, it was his great work to equip these men as much as possible, to repeat basically the ministry of John in the work of baptism. But now they are baptizing them, not just into repentance, but this is the baptism in which people have now not only repented, but they have accepted the Lord. And so Jesus Christ was seeking to train them because he was soon to leave them. Hence, they were baptizing, not him. But it says, once this controversy started, in the sense that the Pharisees had found out that, whoa, he's baptizing more people, Jesus did not stay to fight. It says, rather, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. The reason that this is so powerful is because, in other words, it's revealing that before he got to Galilee, he had to go from Judea through Samaria to Galilee because there was an appointment there that God had for him. The specific place was Sychar. Verse 5 says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And so Jesus Christ now went from Judea to Sychar. Now, as you look at the mileage between Judea to Sychar, you see some powerful stuff. You see the reality of the help message even in this statement, even in these verses. Because what Jesus had to do with his disciples, the journey from Judea to Sychar was approximately 64 miles. It would take them approximately 2 to 3 days to get to Sychar, to get to Samaria itself. And so what we're realizing now is that there's a lot of walking in there. There's a lot of exercise that's going on. There's a lot of sunlight. There's a lot of fresh air that's taking place. This is why it was so powerful in that time that, unknown to many, as Jesus was doing his work, the message of health reform was being kept. They were getting the proper exercise in, they were getting fresh air in, and they were getting sunlight in. As they were doing all of this, the disciples were following who? They were following Jesus, meaning they were trusting in divine power and guidance. And so as this is happening, it's powerful. The principles of health are being activated even in this situation. 64 miles. Now it says, once he got there, it says, they got near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That's 12 noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. So notice this. Jesus comes near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jesus comes specifically to Jacob's well, and he meets the woman of Samaria at that place. Now, it's very interesting because the Samaritans, historically, were a blend of Assyrian and Israelite. So Israelite and Assyrian blended, intermarriage, intermingled, formed Samaritan. So this is what happened in this story. This is what happened in this situation. In the time of Solomon, after his death, the kingdom was divided because of the intense and harsh spirit of his son, Rehoboam. And so there was a division in the kingdom. Some went with Jeroboam and some went with Rehoboam. Those who went with Rehoboam was the kingdom of the south. That comprised Benjamin and Judah. Those who went with Jeroboam was the rest of the 10 tribes, which was called Israel. So one was called Judah, one was called Israel, but they were all Israelites. But now they were divided after Solomon. Those who were in the 10 tribes under Jeroboam went into apostasy much faster than those who were in the southern kingdoms of Judah and Benjamin. And the result was that as they went into apostasy, these northern tribes, these northern 10 tribes from Jeroboam onward, they went into apostasy much faster. God allowed judgment to come against them in that Assyria came, took those Israelites captive, and the Israelites never returned there. Why? Because the Israelites that were taken captive to the Assyrians intermingled with the Assyrians, never maintained their Israelite identity. And so they fused, and so as was mentioned, Israelite and Assyrian equals Samaritan. So this woman was a blend of both Israelite, Assyrian. So her father, hence he says in verse 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater, hear this, than our father Jacob? That's why she said that, because what? She was part Israelite. And so the Israelites, what they did as they went into Assyrian captivity, they blended Jewish religion and Jewish custom and genealogy with the Assyrians and their history. Hence, the people of God became corrupt through intermarriage. And so as we look at this now, it's very interesting. They lost a hold of the purity of the truth. That was their way of losing it. The other tribes lost it as well. They were taken into Babylon in captivity later on. But these 10 tribes was where this woman was a descendant from. Now notice where Jesus met her. He met her at a place where both of them can identify with. For Jesus Christ in his humanity, was a descendant of Jacob, right? He was part of Israel. He was a Jew. And so now they're both meeting at a place of common ground, literally. Hence, the first principle that we learn about how God reaches people and how he's trying to teach us how to reach people is to meet them on common ground. They literally met at a place, at a well, that belonged to someone that both of them could identify with in terms of their genealogy. Hence, when we seek to reach out to souls, regardless of whether it's at a hygienic restaurant, whether it is at a sanitarium, whether it is at a health food store, whether we go door to door, our work is to try to meet them on common ground. We are told in inspiration, Christ, evangelism page 57, Christ drew the hearts of his hearers to him by the manifestation of his love. And then, little by little, and this is powerful because the next words, among many who believe in present truth, it sounds like compromise. But these are the words of the spirit of prophecy, the very testimony of Jesus himself. It says he unfolded the truth to them little by little, get this, as they were able to bear it. He unfolded to them the great truths of the kingdom. We also must learn to adapt our labors to the condition of the people. Listen to this, check this out, to meet men where they are. So this is powerful. When Jesus sought to reach someone and he taught them, that's one of the reasons Christ taught in parables. When he was seeking to teach the people, he taught them little by little, simple lessons. Many perceive that they must get the whole truth out at once to someone because we are so eager to get the message out. But friends, there's a difference between urgency and being rushed. Having urgency, God wants us to have that. But being rushed, God does not want us to be like that. And that's the powerful thing because that's how God dealt with us, right? As he ministered to us in bringing us into the truths that we believe today, he revealed it bit by bit as we were able to receive it. And as our hearts were stirred, we were able to receive more and more light. But it did not come all at once. For all of that light to come all at once, God could lose us. Because we would not understand. Our minds would not be able to comprehend. Hence, we must think about the same thing as we are reaching out to others for Christ. It is sometimes not even our work to take them from point A to point Z. Sometimes it might be just to take them from point A to point B. Sometimes God would just have us to plant a seed, preparing the way for someone else to water it. Hence, Jesus met them where they were, not where they were not. And so with this woman, he met her in the same way, met her on common ground, in areas that they could identify with each other on, Jacob's well. Now the story continues and it says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." That's verse 7. "For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." So notice what Jesus is doing next. He is showing the attractive, he's beginning to spark an interest in this woman, that by the time you get to verse 15, the woman literally says this, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Because Jesus told her that this water that I can offer you, it will never dry out. Pools may dry out, cisterns may dry out, but this water that I'm offering will never dry out. So her interest was sparked. Hence the second principle in terms of evangelism. The first, Jesus met her on common ground, met her on areas where they can agree, areas that they had in common. Hence Ellen White tells us that as we witness to others, there may be some that we may be able to tell the in most intense parts of our faith. But friends, in books like Gospel Workers that teach us in evangelism, that show us how to do evangelism, we are told not to come to the people with the most controversial points of our faith, such as the Sabbath. She tells us to meet them first in the areas where we agree, that they might know that the church believes in Jesus Christ, that the church believes in salvation by grace through faith, areas that we have in common. Jesus met her on common ground. But then notice, the next thing that Jesus did is he sparked her interest by what he could offer her. And it was, what was he offering her? He was offering her water that would never dry out. And so this is powerful. What God is saying to us here is, spark an interest in the person. First, meet them on common ground, and then draw them in by something of interest to them. Show them that what you can offer them is of the greatest value in the world. The water that Christ referred to, this is found in Bible Commentary, Volume 5, page 1134, paragraph 3. The water that Christ referred to was the revelation of his grace in his word. His spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, his teaching is as a satisfying fountain to the soul. In Christ is fullness of joy forevermore. Christ's gracious presence in his word is ever speaking to the soul, representing him as the well of living water to refresh the thirsting. It is our privilege to have a living, abiding Savior. He is the source of spiritual power implanted within us, and his influence will flow forth in words and actions, refreshing all within the sphere of our influence, begetting in them desires and aspirations for strength and purity, for holiness and peace, and for that joy which brings with it no sorrow. This is the result of an indwelling Savior. Wow. So he told her, I can give you something that will change your life. But notice now he begins to do the third part of evangelism. So first, Jesus met her on common ground, an area where they can agree on. Both had their ancestor as Jacob. The same way we must meet those of other faiths, even the atheists we can meet on common ground, even the agnostic. For friends, many times an atheist and an agnostic is against the surrender to God because they believe that God could or could not exist, while an atheist flat out believes that God does not exist. And so we can meet both of them. For many times the reason that they are in that place is because of bad encounters that they've had with Christians who profess to believe in God. and who were so zealous that their zeal was not regulated by divine love. And so they tell us, I don't believe in a God that will burn people in hell forever. I don't believe in a God who's a tyrant. I don't believe in a God who's a vindictive judge. Hey, neither do I. Neither do I as a Christian. That's an area of commonality. But then he went on to spark in her an interest for what he can offer her, this living water. And then, beyond that, as he goes forward, he reveals to her the attractive nature of the kingdom. Because notice what Jesus does, starting from verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So do you see how he started drawing her in? He started drawing this woman in by showing her the attractive nature of how God operates. And what is this attractive nature? That there is no nationality above another with God. Jesus was breaking down the walls of Jewish nationalism. He was breaking down the national divide. Hence we read in inspiration. He here in John 4:35, he here when he was talking about, as he said, basically, stay ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest, right? So check this out now, right? This is very interesting, because now when Jesus says this, what does he mean by this? What does he mean? Friends, this is what he meant. He here referred to the gospel field, to the work of Christianity among the poor, despised Samaritans. His hand reached out to gather them into the garner. They were ready for the harvest. And then it says, the Savior was above all prejudice of nation or people. He was willing to extend the blessing and privileges of the Jews to all who would accept the light which he came to the world to bring. It caused him great joy to behold even one soul reaching out to him from the night of spiritual blindness. That which Jesus had withheld from the Jews and enjoined upon his disciples to keep secret was distinctly open before the inquiring woman of Samaria, for he knew all things. For he who knew all things perceived that she would make a right use of his knowledge, of her knowledge, and be the means of leading others to the true faith. That's found in Bible Commentary, Volume 5, 1134, Paragraph 5. So this is powerful what we're looking at here. So it continues. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, to give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Now let's skip down to verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call. So the woman now is interested in getting the water, but before she gets the water, she has to come face to face with the kind of life that she was living, a life that needed to be repented of. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truth. Now, friends, when you translate it from the original language, you begin to realize that this woman was cohabiting, what we would call today cohabiting, living with your partner before marriage. Do you know what's interesting about this story? Even though in verses 19 and verse 20, it says, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. You know what's powerful about that? In verses 19 and 20, the woman changes the subject. It's too heavy for her. At that moment, it was almost like God was opening her entire life. This stranger was opening her entire life before her. That's why when she finally went out and witnessed to the people in Samaria, she said, come and see a man that told me all that I ever did. Because her life was just laid out before this stranger, and it was like he was reading her entire history. And so now, you know what's powerful about this story? Jesus used a woman who was living in sin to be an evangelist for him, to win an entire community of Samaritans. Now, by no means am I saying that the Bible condones cohabiting. By no means am I saying that the Bible condones living with your partner before marriage. No, no, no. The Bible tells us the exact opposite. But what I am saying is that we must understand that when God began to use many of us, all of us, we were in our sins. Friends, we were in our sins when God called us. And as we began to work for the Master, as we heard that call, we came into a state of revival and repentance as God called us. As His Spirit began to convict our hearts, we realized, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God demonstrated His love or commended His love toward us, not while we were righteous, but while we were sinners, in that Christ died for us. Friends, God calls us, and it is as we accept His call and conviction upon our hearts, as we go forth, He begins to do such a work in our hearts as we accept the call, that He begins to change us, one sin annihilated at a time. As we take one step forward, He begins to unfold to us another defect of character. Step by step, as we follow Him, He calls us away. Therefore, friends, is there someone on this line that may be living in a life of sin today? Is there something that you may be doing that you know, God, I want to overcome, I am afraid. Can you use me? The answer is yes. And as He uses you right where you are, and you follow Him there, He will begin to change not only you, but He will begin to change your lifestyle. Many people think, I must be perfect before God can use me. But this story annihilates that concept. God uses us right where we are if we turn to Him in our sin. If we turn to Him right there in the darkness, the light comes. And He begins to change us and use us. And the more we work for Him, the more our characters are changed. It is in standing still in sin that the destruction comes. But if we move, if we say, I am not going to let you go until you bless me, God will begin to work in our lives as we begin to move, and He'll begin to change our characters, change our hearts and our minds to such an extent that I'm sure in the afterlife of this story in John chapter 4, you probably saw this woman doing one of two things, either saying to this man, let's get married, that she was living with, or packing her bags up and leaving. Friends, but the conversion, while the work of justification may be the work of a moment, the work of transforming us continually, because justification, part of it is to be transformed. But then God begins to change not only us, but our situation, our lifestyle. The fruits begin to come forth moment by moment, by and by, until we look back at one moment and we realize, whoa, I'm not where I used to be. Take heart, my friend. Do not be discouraged, but turn to the Savior right where you are, and He will begin to use you, and in using you, He will begin to change you and change your life. If you believe this, then you can bring that hope to someone else. And my friend, I tell you, you can believe it. God loves you. even as you are in your sin, else Christ would not have died for you while you were a sinner. God loves you right where you are, and it is his goal to begin a work of taking you from where you are to where he wants you to be. And so Jesus reveals the powerful nature of the kingdom and shows her. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. In other words, what is he telling her? There is coming a day where salvation and the work of salvation and worship will be worldwide. It will no longer be held down to a geographical place, because even these people who have given the message to, they're not spreading it. But it's going to go worldwide, and that was always my plan. In other words, he reveals to her the attractive nature of God's kingdom being for everyone, especially the sinner. Why? Because Christ came to save sinners. There is none righteous. But he comes to them in their sins, and he makes them overcomers of their sins. He makes them righteous. But when Christ meets us, friends, we are covered in filth. He's the only one that could change us. He meets us in our decrepit state. And our decrepit state is our greatest qualification to his righteousness. He takes away our sins and gives us his righteousness. The kingdom of God is for all. And this is the message of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is the message of the Bible. The kingdom, the call of the kingdom is to every man and woman, black or white. It is for every single race, every single nationality. God opens up the gospel to them. The woman saith to him, unto him, I know that Messiah, when Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Why is it so powerful, friends? We see a major thing that Jesus does here. After he unfolds the attractive nature of his kingdom, and he sees this soul now reaching out to him, he then reveals himself on a deeper level than he does even with his own people. As we just read, what Jesus would not say directly to the Jews, and what he told his disciples to keep a secret, he revealed plainly to this woman who was open. And you know what? That happens to many even today. When it comes to even many who claim to have the oracles of God and the truth for this time, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I tell you the truth, friends. There are many messages that we have that we even ourselves are not ready to accept. And so hence, as God goes to the wise men of the world, as he goes to the people outside of our faith, they comprehend the truths of the Bible and the spirit of prophecy even more many times than we do. We have these examples in Scripture, right? We have Naaman accepting the message of Elijah. We have the wise men being more solid in their understanding of the prophetic truths and accepting of these prophetic truths than the very Jews themselves, until they were threatened by Herod to tell him where the Messiah should be born. Then they went back and they realized, okay, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Friends, they were not willing to accept Jesus in a manger. However, the wise men were men who were not of the stock of Israel. The Gentiles were beginning to come to Jesus at the end of his ministry, and as found in John chapter 12, the centurion accepted the Savior more by faith than his own people. And so many times it happens today that those Seventh-day Adventists who are not truly in tune with Jesus Christ and his teachings, friends, God goes to the Gentile world per se, those who don't know the truth for this time, and as he reveals it to them, they are more willing to accept these principles than many of his own people. The good news is, rather than bypassing this church as many are beginning to teach, God does not bypass the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Rather, what he does is one day, through crisis, he will purge it. And as he purges it, only those will remain who accept the teachings of his word and the spirit of prophecy. This is the hope for the Laodicea church. The church of Laodicea, the church of the judgment hour, will become so purified that rather than God getting rid of this church, purify it unto himself and use it as a specimen of his glory. So we see five major principles here in terms of evangelism when it comes to one-on-one encounters as Jesus had with the woman at Samaria. First, Jesus met her on common ground. Two, he sparked her interest by what he could offer her. Three, he unfolded the attractive nature of God's kingdom being for everyone. And four, I should say four, not five, he revealed himself to her in accordance with the opening of her heart, with how open her heart was. And I'll read the statement once again, Evangelism, page 57, Christ drew the hearts of his hearers to him by the manifestation of his love. And then little by little, not all at once, as they were able to bear it. So as you're speaking to someone and you're beginning to see, man, we must be able to read human nature, we are told in the inspiration. As you're looking at someone and you're beginning to tell them certain things and you're realizing, whoa, this person's not ready. Just by their demeanor, just by their countenance, they're not ready. Friends, don't keep pressing it. Give them a piece of the truth. First, beginning even with your own lives. Make sure your own life is intact with God, that you are showing love to that person. It was after he showed them the manifestation of his love that he began to unfold the truth to them little by little. Because now, because of the manifestation of his love toward them, they were open. But he knew even then they were not ready for everything. Jesus told his disciples, even his disciples, there are many things that I want to tell you, but I cannot tell you right now. But later on, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Things that I didn't tell you because I know that you weren't ready, he'll help you to understand by and by. Friends, we must allow room for the Spirit to work. Pressing. If you're reading in someone's countenance that the whole gamut of truth that you're revealing to them, they're not ready for. It is not our work to unfold to people the whole three angels' messages in one conversation. Little by little, as they were able to bear it, he unfolded to them the great truths of the kingdom. We also must learn to adapt our labors to the condition of the people, to meet them where they are. As we do this work in the city and in the country, may we ever remember these principles, friends. Father in heaven, I pray that you will give us opportunities to be able to test these principles. Lord, we'll make mistakes. Some of us will get it the third, the fourth, the fifth time. Some of us will get it on the tenth time. Lord, I know, Father, you're continually training me, Father. I'm so eager to get the truth out, not realizing that as I unfold it all at once, people run away. They're not ready. And Father, so you have been teaching me, a keen slowdown. While there is urgency, there is not a rush. And so, Father, I thank you and I pray that you will help all of us to do these things as we witness to others. For you know that we are eager to reach others for you. But in our eagerness and our zeal, if it is not controlled and regulated by divine love, the very eagerness that we perceive as love is actually pushing people away. And so help us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, as sheep among wolves. Help us. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hear you. I hear you, brother. As those things ponders up on my heart when I'm trying to share with someone and someone trying to tell me, you know, back off of, you know, they don't need anything else. They heard you or whatever, you know. So these things that we have to realize also what Christ did, that Christ was showed this lady, and when this lady heard out of her own mouth,
she perceived that he was somebody special. So by God's grace, we got to treat our people, the people that don't know, we got to be patient. So that's me. I have to be patient. So we have a little short testimony. Sister Brenda was saying earlier today, I'm going to let her give a little short testimony on, because you was talking about the change. And let me see if she's still on, and I'm going to let her share a little short testimony, what she gave early. Sister Brenda, I'm going to open your line. Amen? I'm going to open your line. If you can, Sister Brenda, she gave a little testimony she was sharing early. Sister Brenda, you're there? I got to give her a second because she'd be away from the phone and listening. Sister Brenda, are you listening? Well, she was giving a testimony earlier today. Her children, had cooked some food, and the children came over to to eat, and they picked up on some information. And they say, you're talking a little different, and we're hearing you speaking. Okay, there she is right there. So you can give them a short testimony. Amen? That what you was giving to us.
Amen.
Everybody wasn't on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you insist them, brother? Yeah. I was cooking some gumbo for me and my kids today, and they came over, and they was here, and they said, they said they noticed my change of talking, and they noticed I didn't use nothing negative. And they said, well, Mom, you changed your words, huh? I said, you're not using no negative words. I said, the Lord is working on me. Let him keep working. I said, I'm continuing to let him work. Well, I see. I mean, no. So the kids kept getting better and better to my, oh, she's still good. I said, the Lord is working. I'm not going there. Kids started acting up, told them to stop. I said, the Lord is working. Today I've served the Lord 3 times on Sunday. I said, the Lord is working. Well, I thank God. I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I said, I'm trying to get closer and let him work.
Amen.
And I thank God.
Amen.
It feels
Amen.
Good.
Amen. Amen. So, Brother Akeem, what you've been preaching, the Lord is working in the lives of others. And Sister Brenda and Brother John been listening, and she was on a prayer line with our sister-in-law, and she talked with them, and I tell you, just to hear Sister Brenda speak of some things, yes, some change, because she's not screaming and fussing at the kids when they're just being busy around the house, and usually she would fuss and she would say things, you know. So she's saying the Lord is working. So as you mentioned, as you taught us today, how the Lord work in our life bit by bit, and he will change us if we just accept his way. So I want to thank God for this teaching tonight. I want to thank the Lord for everyone joining in tonight, listening, because, you know, sisters and brothers, the Lord is working on each and every one of us every day. Because you know what? He's soon to come, and he want to find us. He want to find us right, that he can take us home with him. So by God's grace, we're going to hear you back on the prayer line on Thursday. Next Thursday, we have Health Thursday. So we hope that everyone can join in and have a testimony or have a song or whatever you have what the Lord put on your heart. So we want to thank Brother Akeem for bringing us this message tonight and taking out his time to share this with us. So thank you once again, Brother Akeem, and that God continue to bless you in your ministry. and thanking you, brothers and sisters. So we're going to end the night, and may God bless. And I don't believe anyone have any questions. So we're going to say good night tonight, and may God bless and be with you until we hear one another on Thursday. Amen. And actually, Brother Richardson has a ministry on money, Tennessee Taplin Ministry. He's reading the End Times book, the End Time books. So if you want to join, you can contact Sister Leola, and I can give you the number. Amen. God bless, and everyone have a blessed evening and a good night rest. Amen. Thank you all for coming once again.
Tell me the story of